This is Eric Larson, and I'm speaking with Captain Bernie Colvin of Lynn Haven, Florida, on traditional shrimp fishing on this August 8th, 1984.
Marshall Shrimping was before I went to work with the Corps in Bala Battery, back over in there and around. After I come over here and we kept seeing shrimp jumping, you know, out of the water, and I was running a towboat for the Corps of Engineers. We bought a net while I was in Cotien, Alabama, digging a channel there, and we got up in East Bay, split it down over there, and got the dredge started working. We asked the captain if it would be all right for us to go down and see if we could catch some true shrimp. He said, shucks, he lived there all of his life, Captain Davis, up in Addington, and had a home up there, and he said, never been no shrimp up there in that bay. So we went down and we came back without missing, yes, around a couple thousand pounds of shrimp on the stern of that boat. We caught them down at one drag.
What time period was this?
Huh?
When was this? What time period?
About 1941.
So that was the first any shrimping was done in this area?
That's about the first done I knew of. Now they said T.J. Raphael caught some shrimp here before that, but I don't believe it. I don't know what he did or not. He went shrimping after that, after we caught those shrimp, and all they put a lot of them in the shrimp business. They went shrimping, and some of them thought all you had to do though was buy a boat or get a boat and go out and put over and they'd jump in the net, but they don't do that. You got to know how to do it, a little more about it than that. But TJ made a good living. I mean, he went into that business and done that for a good while after that. And Ted Whitfield, he was a captain on the dredge before I went over there, but he was just deck mate whenever him and his brother bought a shrimp boat, and after we found him shrimp up in East Bay, and he was about the first commercial shrimper that done up in East Bay that I imagine that I knew of, and I'd been here, came in 1934.
Are you originally from Florida?
Yeah, I'm originally from Pensacola.
You were born in Pensacola?
Born in Pensacola and went to Bala Battery in 1926. First shrimping I ever done was 1926 in Bala Battery.
How did you get into shrimping?
What'd you say?
How did you get started in shrimping? Was it something?
Well, went to Bala Battery over there, and that's about the only thing. My dad and them moved from Pensacola over there. People told me the good living in it. Went over there and we He got over there and we got a boat from Alabama Cannon Company. And I went out on it the first trip I made. The first trip I made was a French man, French fella, and he made a broker. And I came in and my dad asked the superintendent of the factory if I could take the boat out. And I did, and the first trip I made, went out and stayed 2 days and I had 17 barrels. But I wasn't getting but $4.50 barrel for them. That's $2.25 a pound for them. That's a pretty low price. And then we done that, and I stayed over there until 1930. From 1926 to 1930, and we moved to Biloxi in 1929 from Bala Battery. And I worked and run an oyster schooner over there, dredging oysters. We got about as low as 25 cents a barrel for them. That's not much money for them. And then we came back here in 1934. Let's see, 1930 I came back. 31 I came back and went to work. So I left over then. I came over here and came back to Pensacola. Worked over there with the Corps of Engineers. Well, it was U.S. Engineer Department then. Then we went to work with him. Worked with him a couple of years over there, and then got transferred down here on a little survey boat. I was running a little office boat. Put me on a little boat to run back and forth from Fort Pickens, Fort Caracas. They transferred it down here for a survey boat in 1934. Second day of February in 1934, I came here and I've been here Well, I stayed down in this area ever since, working back and forth. That's one of the boats behind you. Well, that's one of yonder that I was captain on. That's both the same boat. And then I was on the dredge, and on two more of them different boats. And on the towboat, survey boat. But we, and to get back to shrimping business, I noticed several times we coming through the, down through the head of the East Bay and back up in the head of the West Bay, going through there with the dredge, towing the dredge. We had a dredge had about 40 section pipeline behind it, and the dredge Blackwater in them days. And we had to tow. It was a, wasn't self-propelled like the dredge was. I was on when I retired, but we were towing it, and you could see them shrimp jump up in the water. I had the vibration of that boat moving about 3 miles, 2.5, 3 miles an hour, and the vibration of that boat make them jump. You could see them jump, and we decided we'd get us a net, catch a few shrimp to help with the boats, on the boat's expenses too. Well, you know, they fed on the boat, and everybody likes shrimp, you know, and fish stuff. So we went and bought us a net over and towed in when we were dredging over there. And we got over to up in East Bay the first time we used it. That's when we went down and caught all the shrimp down there. They said there never been no shrimp around there, but we found out there were. They lasted there. And this Ed Whitfield bought him a boat. And Dick Danley bought him a little boat. And I was on the little old boat to Dick Danley a while up there when I was off on annual leave. And then Earl and me got us a little boat.
Earl's your son?
Yeah, that's Earl. And it was just a little old, about a 16-foot little speed boat. Had a little old Chevrolet engine in it. Went from that to another other boat, a little larger, and it just kept enlarging until Earl got into a pretty large shrimp boat business. He had one that was so big and drawing so much water, he'd over and buy a battery here, not too many years ago, and he was catching shrimp in about 9 feet of water, and he was drawing over 10 feet. He couldn't get in there. So he sold it, and he went back to the smaller, lighter draft boats where you get in a lot of the shrimp you catch sometimes in the 5 and 6 feet of water. Like in Mullet Point there that day that I caught all that big drag of shrimp in Mobile Bay. That was 1928, I think it was 28. Seen water muddy like mullet and muddy at all that point. It wasn't, you could see the propeller was fanning the shrimp out of the water. Taken in about 28 barrels at one drag. That's 5,600 pounds. That's a lot of shrimp at one time. That was 1928. I was just a young fellow then, just a young boy. But it was hard work. We got $8 a barrel for them shrimp then. That was 4 cents a pound. That's 200 pounds a barrel. So, from that on, we kept Earl Lee was doing the plumbing business. We got another boat. I forget now what, Rambler. And he had another, I believe that was a little bigger boat than the other little boat he had. He sold it and got a little old boat to call the Rambler. And it had a little Ford diesel in it. He done pretty good with it. And his unit on the weekends and at night, whenever I was off on annual leave or home, you know, something like that. About the only time that I had a chance of doing any shrimping out, except when I was off with on our boat, with the boat, you know, with the dredge or something, we caught plenty of shrimp then for us to eat and stuff like that. We kept the grocery bill down with shrimp and fish, which we caught. Catch a lot of white trout, a lot of speckled trout, flounder, crabs and stuff like that, edible with the shrimp, you know, and you save that stuff. It cuts the grocery bill down. And we've done a lot of that kind of work. I mean, whenever we get time, get a little old meat during World War II. We, if it wouldn't have been for that, we'd have went lacking with a lot of time that you wouldn't have too much to eat. Because rationing days, you could, if you had the money to buy it, you couldn't buy it. It wasn't there. It wasn't, you just didn't have it. You couldn't get it. We had to provide. So we all had about 45 people on the boat together there, and we caught a lot of shrimp, a lot of fish, a lot of stuff like that that we, and we'd go off for the cast nets, catch mullet. So we done for a fair real good.
Where'd you get your shrimp nets from?
We bought them by the battery that time. It was actually a Bluxy-made net. And then we came on over here, and we got Mr. Carden, Jimmy Carden's daddy, built nets for Earl, and Earl bought most of his nets from Jimmy's dad. Well, I had him to make his nets for a long time, most of his nets. And then he bought some from Balabatra from Aladdinier over there. Get them in different places, it all depends on whether Mr. Carden was, but he'd taken that other work go to kind of keep his customers going. He was real fine. And his wife, Mrs. Carden, Jimmy's mother was, now she's real old. She lives down here, and she's old, and he ought to get around. Arthritis, everything. But anyway, they were real dependable people. And Jimmy, he shrimped a good while, and so he got in the net business. He's over there now. You talk to him, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's a good net builder. He can build a net to catch shrimp. Earl gets a lot of his nets. He gets sometimes, some of you go buy them fully at times to get some pretty good price, you know, and then he gets Jimmy to remake them. He takes and reworks them for him. But he can fix one of them, it'll shrimp. It won't, not fish, it'll shrimp. In other words, you talk about a net fishing, you don't want a net to fish, you want it to catch shrimp. And so, anything will catch fish. But in shrimp, you gotta know what you're doing, and you gotta know what you're doing when you're tied on the board. They call them doors, you know. Not now to know how the equipment needs to be to work. That's what Nerdo does. He does pretty good. And he knows how to operate and knows what it takes to operate. And he got all crippled up. He worked construction work all the time and got so crippled up he couldn't do anything. He could sit there and steer that boat, and then boys can do the other work. But he's just messed up so now that he can't hardly, that arm, he hadn't even got a bone in that wrist in his left arm. His leg's been broke three places. Boy, he's been in foul shape. Yeah, but he makes a living shrimping. That's all he's done for several years now. I worked with a Corps of Engineers for 44 years on them boats. And I was done a good bit of shrimping during that time, too. Times that I was off, that's the only time I got any money out of it. What I didn't give away, I'd come down here and catch mullet. I got a gill net out there, 430 yards, right brand new one now that I've caught, break a boat roll of mullet and bring it down and bring them down and give them to people. Oysters the same way.
How has the shrimp?
You got to want me to dress them for you. You want to know if they're dressed when you ask them if you want to mince. One fella asked him if you want to mince. He bought two 20 gallon garbage can down there and filled them. You ain't you had a mess.
Which, how would you keep them? You'd have to freeze them, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, well, that's how it was. I like to enjoy seeing people get things, you know, that they wasn't no price much. You had to haul them around to sell them, and unless you had a market for them, you know. So we had some of them, J.C. bought some at times. him and the boys.
How has the shrimp industry changed since you were a young man doing it?
Sir?
How has the industry changed since you were a shrimper?
It has changed from working with your hand. You had to pull it all up by hand, mostly by hand. Yeah, boards are lighter than they are now. The doors, as they call them, is heavier than the whole rig used to be. One board heavier than the whole rig used to be. So you had to pull the boards up by hand, the door up by hand. You didn't have no rig winches and nothing like that back in the days when we were shrimping. Had an old hand winder that they come out with that on it by the battery there that put an old kind of a hand winder that all used all rope. You didn't use no cable. You used rope. And they went from there. When they went to the winches, they went to cable. They all power now, and it makes a lot of difference. It used to be all back strained. You had to pull it up alongside and have a dipping rack, they call it, to stick out the side of the boat and had pegs in those tuba fours. And you'd open up that net and stick out, maybe 2.5 feet out from the boat, and open that tail of that net, you know what I'm talking about, open it, and then dip the shrimp out with a big dip net, maybe dip out 15 to 25 pounds at a dip. Have to dip them out that way. And we caught all them at Mullet Point that day. We had to take ice out of the hole and just leave them in the net until we dumped the ice overboard to have room to put them. And the boat, little old boat, we had about 30 feet long, and we had to have room. Well, I think it was 32 feet long. It had a 14 horse Lathrop engine in it. Now then, you got power. Them days, a 20-horse engine and Biola battery in 1926, 28, about the largest engine they had. There was a 30-horse old Fairbanks Morris hothead diesel engine. And that's the only, and there wasn't many of them there. Most of them were these old Lathrop 14 to 16-horse Lathrop engine. That's the power that they had. The smallest boat there now used to be the largest boat. That's the difference in it now. The boats that you got now, if we'd have had a boat like the Earl's got now and went up in East Bay there, you could have cleaned house. But it's a difference. And that's the reason that big boats are now are cleaning, getting it to where the shrimp is getting thinner every day. They're not like everything else. You keep after them. They thin out. It wasn't anything put overboard up in West Bay and that channel there, or back in East Bay, and fill a net full.
But there's not near as many shrimp nowadays.
Yeah, well, they got it closed now, and in that particular area, it's closed now, mm-hmm. Shrimping. And of course, some of these boys slip through there sometime. But
well, that's one thing I wanted to ask you. Did you have a territory where you could fish? That you could shrimp, you knew where you could shrimp as a person as opposed to a next guy could shrimp?
Oh, yeah.
How did you figure all that out?
Well, you mean where it was a place that you could catch them without tearing up or something like that?
Yeah, that, and also did you have sort of territories where this person would fish normally or shrimp, and then this person over here would shrimp at another special little place where you didn't really cross in each other's territories, or was the whole ocean for everybody?
No, the whole place was open everywhere. It's never, oysters are the only thing that they ever had a lease on the bottom. Now, shrimping, it's always been open to anybody that comes, you know, that got a license or, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's been that you just honor one another. If somebody gets in your way, or something, and you try not to run over him or something like that. These Vietnamese people, what I hear about them, they take advantage of you and try to run over you. I don't know. I've heard a lot of them talk about it. Earl's had a lot of problems with them. Not too much problem. It's been them going back and forth with one another. But he always gets along with them. So sold a boat to some of them. So one of them big boats he had, the one on, the bunch of them, they come in and bought it. But the fishermen kind of honor, supposed to, the American fishermen, I'd say they honor one another kind of. They let one another, if you find any shrimp, like, kind of like Earl knows his buddy or something, they got a kind of a code that they go by. You can't tell it to everybody because they'll clean house with you.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. How did you communicate with other shrimpers?
Well, back in them days, we didn't have any communication. We didn't have any radios or nothing. We didn't have anything. We just had a little flag we might put up on the mast or something like that. But back in the days, first we struck shrimp and bile a battery back in there, we didn't have any radios. You didn't have no CB, you didn't have any kind. Radio, you just had to be around close enough that you could see one another or something like that. And if you ever made a turn, that's communication. If you ever made a turn and turn back a couple of times, buddy, they'll come to you. You wouldn't have to worry about them. They'd be there. That day that we struck them on Mullet Point there, we never did get the second drag in because we never did get them out. They'd done come. Boy, they were all over us. We were dipping shrimp there for a couple of hours. And the time we got out, they had them. Boy, they done scooped them up. You turn them, make a circle. That denotes that you found some. When you're dragging out straight, they don't come at you. But when you ever make a circle, turn back, you better look out.
Did you get along with most of the other shrimpers when you were shrimping? Did you get along with most of the other shrimpers? Were you friendly with them, the other shrimp captains?
Yeah. We always all got along real together, real good together. We didn't have any problem. Oh, you can get over and get a beer and a bunch of whiskey under your shirt, you're liable to have a fight with somebody, but that's over nothing. Back in them days, you were a girlie then, you know. I was before I was married, and back in my first days over there in Bible Battery and all, I got married in 1928 for the first time. I wasn't over there too long before I got married.
How about superstitions on your boat? Were you a superstitious captain?
Superstitious?
Yeah.
Well, not too much, no. Wasn't too much superstitious, though. And there were superstitious people. And a lot of them go on about being superstitious about this, that, and the other. But weather in them days, too, you had to be a kind of a, your own, you couldn't get any weather report. You had some of them, you never had a little old radio, small radio like you got on boats now. You had a weather report. We didn't have anything, just with the engine and the ice and something to eat. Plate cooked on an old what they call a charcoal pot. You know what them is? Well, it's an old little old charcoal furnace thing. Not a furnace, it's just an old it's made out of clay and got a metal around it, and you got a handle on it. You just big enough to set a pot in it. You got a little opening. You put that aftercare charcoal and burn that in it. You know what charcoal is, don't you? Different than the charcoal you got now. The charcoal them days was something that you burn out of wood. You burn it out of these kilns, they call them. You ever seen a coal kiln where they burn that coal? You had to get that's the kind of coal you use. Burn, that's what you cooked your. If you had a gas stove, in other words, you're up in the day, they cost you money. Mm-hmm. Back in them days, you had to go out of light, use charcoal, and on those oyster schooners, you had about six, seven people on it. You had to cook that way. You cooked either potatoes and meat. You had one pot. You didn't have several different things to eat. You had one thing and bread. They had the we called them cat heads. So round bread them days, if you've got a loaf of bread like you got now, it'll mold in 2 days on the boat. But they use it, what they call cat head, get it in a sack, had a big kind of a sack, like a big flour sack, you know, big, maybe a, well, it would be a sack, nearly like a big feed sack, but it would be made out of cloth. They'd furnish them things at the bakery. Get them, they call them cat head. About that big around and bake real brown and hard as a hardtack. That's the kind of bread we use. And use that one thing, it cooked iced potatoes and some kind of a dried meat. So you didn't have refrigeration on the oyster boats, but you had it on the, you had ice in it. On the shrimp boats, you keep your stuff on it. Meats and stuff like that, if you had any, wanted to carry any, which you did. It was a pretty good life. Time, hard work, a lot of hard work in the first days of it. But now then, it's got down to where, it's taking most of the work out of it. It's still a lot of work in it. Time icing and putting that stuff away and everything. But, and the ice has got now, I bought it for as low as 75 cents a block. Now they're selling about $6-$7 a block. That makes a difference. That's the reason shrimp goes up, the stuff goes up. I bought gasoline and for as low as 4 and 5 cents a gallon and buy a battery. 1926, 1927. Back in them days. But now then the gasoline, you see what gasoline and diesel fuel, I filled it. Filled the tanks up on the government boats for 3 cents a gallon. Now then it's $1 and something a gallon for diesel fuel. That makes a difference. And we bought diesel fuel for some of the little old boats we had for about 6 and 8 cents a gallon. Now then it's $1 and it's more than gasoline in some places. It makes a difference. Got to be a pretty good, know what you're doing to be able to make a living shrimping now. In other words, these fellas doing it now, they've had a lot of experience. Like Earl, he come up kind of under me, him and me together. First shrimp boat he got, I went out to show him the first shrimping he ever done. Well, he went out with me on the government over time. He would go up there and stay with me sometime when he was small. Then he worked up there some with the government. And we'd catch shrimp, have them on them, have all we wanted to eat, all the fish and stuff. So that way we got along real good with our fishing deals. And then when I'd come home, we had a boat, we'd catch them and we'd sell them. We didn't get anything for them much, but I sold on to Miss Rayford Jones down there one time for the heads on 15 cents a pound off the little old boat we called them. And I thought we were doing pretty good at that though. 15 cents a pound, that's $30 a barrel. But that's the way it went. We got the most that I've ever got to shrimp and buy a battery one time was $20 a barrel, that was 10 cents a pound. That's before I left there in 19. Well, I left Biloxi in 1930. Came over here. Pensacola and went to work, leaving in 1930. Moved, then came, left Biloxi and came back to Pensacola and went to work over there, and built me a home over there. And got transferred down here in 1934, so I wouldn't need. Not to figure on moving down here because it wouldn't be down here over a month and a half. That's been over 50 some years ago. And I don't believe with anybody that, I'd never seen nobody. I'd been up and down this bay since 1934. Well, 1941, I think, when we caught a bunch of shrimp. First shrimp that I know of was caught in this bay. somebody else called them on Minoing. I mean, I was pretty well up and down the bay and in the coastal waterways. I was here before they ever dug it. I worked and drug core drills out to West Bay out here when they core drilling this for the West Bay and Choctahatchee Bay Canal. We called shrimp over in Choctahatchee Bay, though, when they're staying at Point Washington, we used a cast net called a number 5 gallon bucket full over there with a cast net one day. Over there, 1936, that's what made me think there's shrimp in the bay. We called shrimp over there around Freeport, out there in the bay. Out back, out there around round the bridge, all out Choctahatchee Bay, and they've caught shrimp there ever since. And there's no shrimp boats over there at that time either. You see no shrimp boats, you don't think anybody's catching any shrimp. No nets.